UCLA.edu.
Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 54 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Jonathan Burton.
Then we'll try, I guess they'll put that to bid. We'll know what the final budget looks like.
Moorhead City Council has accepted a floor plan for the new police and 911 center.
A longtime naturalist from Carter Caves has passed away.
Kentucky's new governor will address the Commonwealth tonight.
Lawmakers in Frankfort are considering medicinal marijuana legislation.
Bills against abortion and for arming school resource officers are on the table in Frankfort.
In sports, Round County's basketball teams travel to Fleming for a doubleheader tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 42 degrees. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
The city of Moorhead has decided on a floor plan for its future police station and 911 center. City Council decided on the matter during its regular monthly meeting last night. Council had been leaning towards a different floor plan initially, but ended up choosing a layout that put the 911 center on the first floor. Council member Tom Carew said during the meeting the previous plan required the installation of a wheelchair lift to the center, as well as raising the floor for the installation of technical cabling.
We've eliminated that because we're going to raise the floor of the building a foot or two. And then the 911 center, the section of the 911 center, the subfloor of that will accommodate for the space they need for cabling and everything. So we pick up some space saving there.
The city hopes to begin construction on the project by early July.
Longtime Carter Caves State Resort Park naturalist John Tierney passed away over the weekend. Known as Mr. Carter Caves, Tierney's decades-long work laid the foundation for the modern vision of the park, with many of the programs he initiated still running to this day. Park manager Chris Perry says his legacy will be forever intertwined with the park.
Carter Caves is what it is today because of John Tierney, because of his vision and because of his creative mind with the many different recreational programs that we offer today and special events that we offer. They all came from John Tierney.
A celebration of life visitation for Tierney will be held from 6 to 9 p.m. Friday, January 17th, at the First Christian Church in Olive Hill. In lieu of flowers, the family requests that donations be directed to the First Christian Church or the Friends of Carter Caves.
Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear is set to give his first State of the Commonwealth speech to lawmakers and a statewide television audience tonight. The speech in the House chambers will be broadcast on Kentucky Educational Television. House and Senate members will convene at 7 p.m. for the speech. The Democratic governor will outline some of his top priorities to the Republican-dominated legislature. This year's legislative session will continue until mid-April. The event tonight is the first of two major speeches the governor will deliver to lawmakers this month. Beshear will present his budget plans to lawmakers in late January.
Medicinal marijuana advocates are hoping this is the year legislation efforts can gain traction in the legislature. Jefferson County Representative Jason Nemus is sponsoring a bill this session that would legalize marijuana for medical use. Eric Crawford is a board member with Kentuckians for Medicinal Marijuana. He says it can be used to help with a variety of ailments.
People with epilepsy, people with terminal illness, people that may have Crohn's disease, people with MS, spinal cord issues, anyone that has seizures or spasms, that type of thing.
Previous proposed bills have made it out of committee but failed to garner enough support in the full House for passage. This year's bill has 36 other co-sponsors, including Democrat Kathy Hinkle, the representative for Carter and Lawrence counties.
A Kentucky senator is renewing his push for an anti-abortion measure requiring all babies born alive to receive medical care. Republican Senator Whitney Westerfield's bill revisits a measure that passed unanimously out of the Kentucky Senate last year, but did not make it through the House. Last year's bill was mandated that all medically appropriate and reasonable steps to preserve the life of babies born alive be taken. It's meant to target any physician who would allow a baby to be born as the result of a failed abortion to face legal consequences.
This bill requires that that child be given the care that's necessary for the condition, for the health factors that it presents, for the medical professionals to make the decision about the care they need to provide, but it's care that has to be provided.
Westerfield tells the Herald Leader in 2019 that he's heard reports of hundreds of failed abortion attempts across the country, but could not speak to cases of newborns being denied care in the Commonwealth.
Kentucky lawmakers have introduced a bill that would outlaw female genital mutilation. Senate Bill 72 would make female genital mutilation a Class B felony and require all indicted doctors to have their medical licenses revoked. It would require additional law enforcement training to recognize FGM. SB 72 has received bipartisan support between 11 state senators. Legislation similar to SB 72 did not make it through the 2018 regular legislative session.
Kentucky lawmakers have pre-filed legislation aimed at addressing racial bias in healthcare that fuels both infant and maternal mortality rates. According to State Representative Attica Scott, one of the bill's co-sponsors, the state's maternal mortality rate is 22.9 per 100,000 births. Scott says maternal mortality rates are three times higher for pregnant women of color and nearly four times higher for African Americans compared with white women. Scott says evidence-based implicit bias trainings could help close that gap.
And mandating implicit bias training is a way for us to say, let's make sure that we're focusing health equity for everyone across Kentucky rather than allowing ourselves to get trapped in the disparities that exist in our Commonwealth.
Bill Request 88 would create local maternal fatality review teams, require implicit bias training for prenatal health care providers, and offer Medicaid reimbursement for services of a qualified doula.
A new bill introduced to the Senate would require Kentucky school resource officers to carry guns. Max Wise is a Republican senator from Campbellsville and the primary sponsor of Senate Bill 8. It has a bipartisan support between 10 senators. Wise says this bill is needed specifically in Kentucky's bigger counties like Jefferson.
It seems like right now Jefferson County School Board can't make any decision about security, and a number of the individuals within the school system are saying, we want to see SROs that are armed within the school system.
In addition, SB 8 would specify school safety goals and ensure all schools have at least one armed SRO and one mental health counselor for every 250 students.
Over the past few years, the U.S. Senate has confirmed 185 of President Donald Trump's judicial nominees, the majority of whom have a conservative track record. Along with two Supreme Court justices, senators have confirmed 50 circuit court and 133 district court judges. According to State's newsroom reporter Allison Stevens, the number of conservative confirmations amounts to what some are calling a repeal of progressive reforms that heed back to the New Deal.
And what President Trump is doing and Mitch McConnell is supporting and doing in the Senate is supporting hundreds of conservative judges who oppose a lot of progressive reform throughout the country.
The Senate recently confirmed University of Law Professor Justin Walker as a federal judge for Kentucky's Western District. We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by the hour or per game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights, open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
Governor Andy Beshear has released documents related to Kentucky's investment in Brady Industries. As WUKY's Josh James reports, the materials had been the subject of an ongoing court battle between the previous administration and the Louisville Courier-Journal.
The Journal had sought the release of documents pertaining to Brady Industries following revelations that Russian aluminum company Rusal planned to take a 40% stake in a proposed Brady aluminum mill in Ashland, Kentucky. But former Governor Matt Bevin's administration had refused to turn them over. The deal had raised eyebrows in Washington, prompting questions about whether discussions about the Russian company's investment in the plant occurred before the U.S. Treasury Department lifted sanctions on the company last January. The Trump administration rolled back the sanctions after the company's co-owner, alleged to have close ties to Russian President Vladimir Putin, reduced his stake in Rusal. The documents released Friday include a letter of intent regarding Kentucky's $15 million investment, along with stock purchase, voting, and investors' rights agreements. The materials also include the names of those invested in Brady Industries. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Jewish leaders in Lexington held an event in response to anti-Semitic acts of violence throughout the country. Several people gathered in Lexington's Courthouse Square on Sunday for the No Hate, No Fear rally. Aaron Rothke is the president of Jewish Advocacy of Kentucky. He tells LEX 18 progress cannot be made through hatred.
The answer to hatred is never hatred. So the answer to hatred, violence, whether it's anti-Semitism, racism, Islamophobia, any kind of discrimination, hatred or violence in return is not going to solve the problem.
Congressman Andy Barr also attended the rally. He said he is especially concerned about anti-Semitism in Congress.
Many laid-off Kentucky miners have not received their final paychecks. WMKY's Lysia Hennenberg has more.
About 75 Perry County coal miners lost their jobs last month after the bankrupt company was purchased by the American Resources Corporation in September. A former company manager tells WKYT the workers are still due their final paychecks as well as payment for unused vacation days. Officials say current workers are also owed paychecks. 24 maintenance workers and security guards have not been paid since mid-December. For WMKY News, I'm Lysia Henneberg.
A Letcher County woman is working with Addiction Recovery Care, the organization that saved her life. Allison Rose is a former meth addict. She tells WYMT she didn't think she would ever recover.
I just felt like that I was at the end of my road, that this was going to be it. It turned my world upside down. I no longer functioned as a mother, as a daughter. It was all about the meth. It wasn't something that I enjoyed. I mean, you know, being paranoid, just everything that comes with meth abuse, it wasn't fun.
Rose was pregnant when she was arrested in 2018. Judge Kevin Mullins helped her to be placed into Karen's Place, a rehab facility for expecting mothers. Rose says it was her saving grace. Following her recovery and the birth of her healthy daughter, Rose has returned to the ARC to help those who were in the same situation she was in 2 years ago. She says support was key to her recovery.
The Floyd County Schools District is investigating after a sexually explicit video purportedly featuring a teacher employed by the district made its way onto social media. Mountaintop News reports the video was allegedly shared on the photo-sharing social network Snapchat and featured sexually explicit imagery of a teacher from Betsy Lane Elementary School. Floyd County Schools Superintendent Danny Adkins has not elaborated on the situation, but has acknowledged that the district is aware of the video and is investigating. Adkins says there is no clear timeline for the completion of the investigation and no official action has been taken.
A Rock Castle woman charged with murder made her first appearance in court yesterday. Melissa Wolk was charged with murder in the death of Donald Abner after authorities say Wolk and her dog attacked the man. A neighbor made the call to police after seeing Wolk assaulting Abner. Abner's family appeared in court for the hearing and told news outlets that the two were friends. WKYT reports the prosecuting lawyer asked Wolk's bond not to be lowered.
I think based on what happened to the victim here in this case, obviously she's charged with murder. That bond would be ridiculous, $25,000 cash or property. I think $500,000 is proper.
Wolk's lawyer says they are still waiting for the coroner's report with the cause of death to come back. Troopers say it looked like the dog had bitten Abner in the neck and face. A preliminary hearing is scheduled for January the 22nd.
Taking a look at your region's weather, this afternoon partly sunny with a steady temperature around 58. Tonight, patchy fog, mostly cloudy with a low around 42. Wednesday, 50% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a high near 64. Wednesday night, a 50% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 36. Thursday's mostly sunny with a steady temperature around 40. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 28. And Friday, a 20% chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a high near 40.
Taking a look at temperatures around the region, it's 53 degrees in Lexington, Winchester, and Mount Sterling. 55 over in Grayson, 56 in Ashland, and 58 in Inez. And here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University, it's 54 degrees. On our feature segment today, Morehead State University has a new director of gender studies. WMKY's Keneally Roberts has the story.
Dr. Bernadette Barton, professor of sociology and gender studies at Morehead State University, has been named the director of MSU's gender studies program. Barton says she came to Morehead State as a sociologist.
I got my master's in sociology, my PhD in sociology, and a graduate certificate in women's studies. And I have always been interested in social inequality, especially gender and sexuality. So I came to Morehead. I'm teaching sex and gender as well as other sociology classes. And so, no, it's very natural for me to involve myself in gender studies.
She's been interested in the topic from day one.
The Gender Studies program was founded in 1992. Mm-hmm. So it was not hadn't been around a very long time when I first got involved. And even as a visiting professor, I was very interested in being part of the program.
The undergraduate gender studies minor at MSU focuses on fostering learning and partnerships that span divisions of gender, sex, race, ethnicity, class, religion, age, able-bodiedness, and nationality. Barton says there are three elements social scientists measure sexual orientation by that others don't always take into account.
The first one is attraction, so you have to have desire. The second is behavior, and the third is identity. So when conservative Christians critique gay people as choosing it, they're missing those three dimensions. They're missing that attraction orientation element that is not controllable. And they're confusing behavior with orientation.
In taking on her new role as director of gender studies, Barton has the ability to make changes to the program.
And what I'm most interested in creating right now is raising the profile of the program so people are more aware of gender studies across the university and see us as a resource for things that are happening on campus. So if there is issues with sexual harassment, folks might come to us to help them figure out what's happening. Or there's confusion about what to do about all gender bathrooms or pronouns or name changes, that we can be a resource.
She says those changes are important because the 2016 presidential election led to a change in thinking, and not just because of who was elected.
A woman who was so qualified didn't win, and then there was so much sexism involved. And then there were the women's marches. So that has been drawn a lot of people's attention to this idea that we need to be supporting women leaders. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've noticed, I've seen a lot more media and a lot more folks openly talking about supporting women and not putting down women who are leaders and trying to combat those kinds of stereotypes.
Barton writes, lectures, and conducts research on contemporary issues of gender, sexuality, religion, qualitative methods, American culture, and the sex industry. She is author of 2017's Stripped, More Stories from Exotic Dancers, and is currently writing a fourth book titled Porn in the USA, How Raunch Culture is Ruining America. For WMKY News, I'm Keneally Roberts.
It's 54 degrees here on the beautiful campus of MSU. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Jonathan Burton and Cody Robinson. And we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this unseasonably warm Tuesday afternoon. Ty Martin has a look at sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Morehead. Rutabaker's has made-from-scratch cakes, pies and cookies, scones, braids and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
The Round County girls basketball team heads to Fleming County tonight for WMKY Sports. I'm Todd Martin. This is the Vikings' first regional game in 2 weeks, and a win could give them the first seed in the district. Head coach Matt Stokes says his team will need focus.
You know, you come off of this big high of winning a 2A section, and then you get to go to the state tournament, which is on Friday. But now you've got this game in between, which is a huge game for us because it's a district seat game. So, you know, we'll come into practice today and really try to get the girls focused in on Fleming and, you know, worry about the other stuff after tomorrow night.
Tip-off tonight in Flemingsburg is set for 6 p.m. The Round County boys will face off with Fleming County in the nightcap game this evening. The Vikings stand at 12-6 on the season. Round's schedule this year has been tough with a lot of long road trips. Head coach Sean Thacker says that will help his team tonight in postseason play.
It's been part of the design, just to try to, get this team to where they understand that every night's a war, every night's a battle, every night's a fight. You know, you've got to bring it, and you got to play at a high level consistently, and you know that's what we want to bring to the table with our kids, that we'll come and play hard every night, and that we can play at that level.
The Vikings and the Panthers face off tonight at 7:30, immediately following the girls' matchup. Taking a look at other 16th region action tonight, the Elliott County girls face off with Fairview in the 16th region All-A Classic at 6 p.m. Morgan County travels to Montgomery at 7:30. The Elliott County boys meet Raceland tonight in the 16th region All-A Classic. Tip-off is set for 7:30 p.m. East Carter heads to Morgan County, and Boyd County travels to Greenup. Both of those games are set to tip off at 7:30 p.m. We'll have the scores from all of tonight's games tomorrow on Morning Edition. Number 10 Kentucky hits the road tomorrow night for a conference matchup against South Carolina. The Cats are coming off a 76-67 victory over Alabama this past Saturday. Head coach John Calipari talks about his offensive philosophy coming out of that game and what he hopes to see moving forward.
We need to make 5, 6, 7 threes a game, maybe 8. Because of how we play, we want to get to the free throw line. You cannot get to the free throw line shooting jump shots. You're just not. We also want to get better offensive rebounding. Well, shooting threes, those are hard. And if you do rebound them, they're not the type that are near the rim where you can stick them back in.
Kentucky is one of three teams currently undefeated in SEC play. South Carolina has yet to score a conference win. Tip-off tomorrow evening in Columbia is set for 6:30 p.m. A House committee is poised to take up House Bill 137, which could legalize sports wagering in the Commonwealth. The bill has more than 20 bipartisan co-sponsors and appears to have support in the state Senate. GOP State Senator Damon Thayer is the House Majority Floor Leader. He says sports betting makes sense.
We already have sports wagering that's legal in Kentucky. It's called parimutuel wagering on horse racing. And I think this is just a natural extension of something that's a part of our history, our culture, and our tradition.
Conservative opposition groups like the Family Foundation, however, argue that lawmakers alone can't decide the issue. They say a legislative effort to legalize sports wagering would also require an amendment to the state's constitution. In a hearing last month overseen by the Interim Joint Committee on Licensing, Occupations, and Administrative Regulations, Senator Thayer suggested arguments against the bill on constitutional grounds are a red herring. And finally, in sports this afternoon, the Transylvania men's basketball team now has a new face on the sidelines. The team welcomed 7-year-old Bentley Barber with an honorary draft and press conference on Monday, where Bentley received his own jersey and locker. Bentley has cystic fibrosis and was partnered with the team through the organization Team Impact that aims to connect children with chronic illnesses to teams to build a strong connection. LEX18 reports the team welcomed Bentley with open arms and made his dream to dunk a basketball come true. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Ty Martin.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's and women's basketball welcomes OVC opponents Southeast Missouri on Thursday, January 30th, and UT Martin on Saturday, February 1st. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The Dow Industrials and the broader indices closed little changed in volatile trading as J.P. Morgan Chase led bank shares higher on the back of strong quarterly results, but overall the market pretty quiet today. The Dow finishing up 32.62 at 28,939.67. The S&P 500 was actually down 4.98 at 3283.15, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 22.6 at 9251.33. J.P. Morgan, as mentioned, posted quarterly earnings and revenue that beat analyst expectations, sending the stock up more than 1.2%. The bank's annual profits also reached record levels at $36.4 billion. J.P. Morgan also had a surge in bond trading revenues during the fourth quarter, which helped lift investor sentiment. Citigroup's earnings got a boost from strong fixed income trading as well, with revenue from that business up almost 50%, and Citigroup shares themselves gained 1.6% in today's trading. Delta Airlines reported better-than-expected earnings, boosted by lower fuel costs and strong travel demand, and these results sent Delta shares up by 3.3%, and also that announcement led to many of the airline stocks outperforming today. Despite the strong results from J.P. Morgan, Citi, and Delta, expectations for the corporate earnings season are low. S&P 500 profits are forecast to actually fall 2% in the fourth quarter on a year-over-year basis, according to FactSet. The Dow actually gave up most of its gains intraday, while the S&P and NASDAQ obviously totally erased their gains on news that U.S. tariffs targeting Chinese goods will stay on through the 2020 election, even as both sides get ready to sign a Phase 1 trade deal. In the commodities markets, oil rebounded today up 0.6% at $58.41 a barrel. Gold was down 0.25% at $1,547 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a fair day with the Stock 600 index up 0.3%. In Asia, markets were mixed with the Nikkei up 0.75% and the Shanghai Composite down 0.3%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Fifth Third Bank down 12 cents at $29.74, Dollar General up 3.80 at $157.92, UPS up 49 cents at $117.24, Marathon Petroleum up 20 cents at $59.82, and Humana was up 37 cents to finish at $357.25. Reporting from the national offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, providing a curbside recycling service to residents of Moorhead and Rowan County. Residential pickup available every Sunday. Pre-sorting the recycled materials is not required. Accepting number 1 and 2 plastic, cardboard, paper, electronics, metal, and grocery bags. Materials may be placed in any container, placed at curbside for pickup and visible from street. More information by calling 784-1250.
Taking another look at your weather. This afternoon, partly sunny with a steady temperature around 58. Tonight, patchy fog, mostly cloudy with a low around 42. Wednesday, 50% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a high near 64. Wednesday night, a 50% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 36. Thursday, mostly sunny with a steady temperature around 40. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 28.
Taking a look at some events coming up around the region, the Moorhead chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness Support Group will meet at 6 p.m. this evening at the Rowan County Public Library. Individuals with mental illness or family and friends with people with mental illness are welcome to attend.
The Cave Run Symphony Orchestra Society will conduct its annual meeting at 5:30 p.m. on Monday, January 27th. The meeting will be held at the Rowan County Public Library. Season ticket holders and all members of the society are invited to attend.
On display at the Rowan County Arts Center on Main Street is Moorhead. In Moorhead is a watercolor exhibit entitled In Memory of Mildred Stanley. On display through January 17th, the exhibit is open to the public weekdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
The Paramount Arts Center in Ashland presents Aaron Lewis, Acoustic Songs and Stories, at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, January 30th. Tickets are priced from $40 to $75. The Rowan County Caring and Sharing Alzheimer's Support Group will meet at 6 p.m. on Monday, February 3rd at the Rowan County Public Library. Caregivers of those with Alzheimer's or related disorder are invited to attend. Attendees will receive education support and information about caregiving issues.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Zoe Hall, Wyatt Melton, Lysia Hennenberg, Nacogdoches Miller, Cody Robinson, and Ty Martin. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Keneally Roberts. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jonathan Burton, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News.